Since the September 11th attacks, Sikh men with their thick beards and turbans have been the objects of attacks and harassment. One Sikh was murdered in Arizona. The attacks have shocked people in India, where Sikhism was founded more than 500 years ago. Commentator Martha Ann Overland, who lives in New Delhi, recalls the time when a Sikh man entered her family's life.
Though Sikhs are a tiny minority in India, they are a very visible part of life here, easily recognizable by their distinctively wrapped turbans and the symbolic daggers to fight injustice that some still carry at their side. The first Sikh I came to know was our tailor. He carried no dagger, but rather a sewing bag that contained buttons, feathers, sequins, and 100 different colors of thread. He made clothes for New Delhi's expatriate ladies and sewed fancy Halloween costumes for their children. I heard about Mr. Singh when one of the women said there was an opening on their list. My friend explained that the way this list worked was that Mr. Singh would come to your house for a week. When he was finished, I was to send him to the next name on the list and deliver the sewing machine to the new family. It worked a bit like a chain letter and ensured Mr. Singh always had work. Mr. Singh arrived on a rickety bicycle the next Monday morning. He was as ancient as his hand-crank sewing machine, which also appeared on my doorstep as promised. The old gentleman asked if he might sit on the floor, in a place where he wouldn't be in the way. We found a place for him in a quiet alcove. For hours on end, Mr. Singh sat cross-legged and barefoot, and patiently stitched noses back on stuffed animals, fixed zippers, took in and let out hems. The children and I found we liked to be near him while he worked. I lingered longer over my morning coffee, and they dragged out their crayons and drew pictures for him as he sewed. Our large and rather terrifying dog also took a fancy to Mr. Singh. Every morning the dog lay in wait at the door for him to arrive. Normally this was his method of ambush and attack, but with Mr. Singh it was pure adoration. Once he arrived, the dog never left his side, even sleeping on top of the clothes Mr. Singh was trying to mend, with his head in his lap. Like the dog, we were on our best behavior when Mr. Singh was in the house. My husband and I didn't argue, I didn't yell at the children, and they didn't whine. Instead of the bickering and the barking, there was just the sweet hum of the sewing machine needle going up and down as he spun the wheel with his hand. Mr. Singh took days to sew a single pair of pants, but we hoped it would take him forever, and that he wouldn't leave and go on to the next family that we knew was waiting for him. One morning, while riding his bicycle to work, Mr. Singh was hit by a car. His leg was shattered, and he spent a month in the hospital. We expat wives quickly ponied up the money for the operation he needed and covered all of his expenses. To make sure he was taken care of, we sent work for him to do at home. But it was never the same. The list fell apart. The chain letter had been broken. Because what we wanted was not someone to mend our old jeans. Anyone at the market could have done that. Even I could have done that. It was just that Mr. Singh's gentle presence drew us closer around him. And while he sewed, he was actually stitching all of us together.
Martha Ann Overland is a writer who lives in New Delhi.